The first reading is Psalm 8, which you can find on page 546 of the Church Bibles. That's Psalm 8 on page 546. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And our next reading is Hebrews 2, verses 5 to 9, and that can be found on page 1202. That's Hebrews 2, verses 5 to 9. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone.
Thank you, sir, very much indeed. Very warm welcome to our service this morning. If you want to turn back to Psalm 8, that's where we're going to spend most of our time looking this morning at Psalm 8. Before we dive into that, why don't I pray? This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself to us as a mighty God, an amazing God. And we pray as we encounter you this morning in your word that you would humble us, that we would see how you value humility and weakness. And Lord, would we finish our time together looking at this part of your word, declaring with the psalmist how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you relate to more, James Bond or Tiny Tim? Wonder Woman or Ugly Betty? Do you fancy that you can save the world, or do you feel very insignificant? Have you come to the end of the term feeling like a world beater or a waste of space? Now, I guess if you're like me, most of us will find ourselves somewhere in the middle, leaning one way or the other, depending on our mood maybe, depending on how we're doing at life, how we think we're doing, how we think others think that we're doing, things like that. Either way, most of us, when it comes to thinking about our own self-esteem, measure ourselves against sets of criteria that the world around us mark out for us. Things that society finds impressive or worthy, whether that's academic ability or sporting prowess or physical appearance, whatever it may be, that's how we measure ourselves so often. And whether we feel good about these things at the moment or not, whether we feel on top of the world or down in the dumps, Psalm 8 speaks a very powerful word to all of us this morning. Psalm 8 leads us to exclaim, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8 puts our status anxiety into perspective by bringing us to praise the living God. That word Lord there in capitals in that verse 1, it's the personal name of God, the God who enters into a relationship with his people. People like you and me, a relational God. And it's in that relationship with God, in that relationship of praise and adoration, that we can find security. If you like, Psalm 8 is all about verse 1 and verse 9, recognizing how majestic God's name is. And it's the answer, that recognition is the answer to our search for satisfaction. Now, why is that so? Perhaps you're here this morning and you wouldn't say, I'm a Christian. And you can't really see why verse 1 is true at all, let alone the answer to our search for satisfaction. Why should I join in with this psalm? Why should I say the Lord's name is majestic in all the earth? Well, we're going to see two reasons why we should all join in with this psalm this morning. Two reasons why God is majestic. And the first is this, because he makes something special out of nothing. He makes something special out of nothing. You see, Psalm 8 takes the usual categories that we work with, and the psalmist throws them out the window. He turns our values upside down and says what's majestic about God is that he loves to use the weak, the insignificant, and the helpless in bringing about his cosmic purposes for the world. And he leads us to this point by showing us how God's majesty is displayed in the most unlikely of places. So whilst the psalm, as we've been singing, highlights the awesome power of God in creation, the reason for the praise of Psalm verse 1 is the fact that God's purposes are achieved through little children and weak adults. So look at verse 2. I bet you weren't expecting verse 2. If you were going to write this psalm, would you have written verse 2? So you've set your glory above the heavens, end of verse 1. Verse 2, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. You'd expect that God would use something grand and magnificent to silence his enemies and to defeat them. But he uses the praises of little children. Or look at verse 3 onwards. When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and might. God takes insignificant humanity, little people like me and you, and he makes us rulers over his creation. He makes something special out of nothing. Have you ever stopped to think about how small you are? I guess we only realize how small we are when we compare ourselves to something really big. And one of the best ways to feel small, isn't it, is to go out on a summer's night, a clear summer's night, and look up at the night sky, as I guess the psalmist has done writing this psalm. Look at the stars. Think about how big they are. What about the sun, our sun? If the sun was scaled down to be a large orange, the earth would be the size of a sesame seed. And we're little specks on that sesame seed. Or think of the Milky Way, the galaxy that our solar system's part of. It's made up of 200 billion stars. How big is the Milky Way, our galaxy? Well, if the sun and all the planets in our solar system were fitted into a coffee cup, the Milky Way galaxy would be the size of North America. That's huge, isn't it? What about distance? The nearest star to us beyond the sun is called Proxima Centauri. It's so far away that traveling at 55 miles an hour in a kind of flying car, it would take you 52 million years to get there. That's how far away it is. Or Andromeda, which is the nearest galaxy to our galaxy, twice as big as the Milky Way. It's 2 million light years away. That doesn't mean anything to me, does it? 2 million light years. Well, consider this. The Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, and that is less than 1/1,000,000th of one light year. And the nearest galaxy is 2 million light years away. Humans are not even specks in the universe. We're nothing. We're just so tiny. And that's comparing us to the universe. But this psalmist compares us to God. So do you see in verse 3, what about when we compare ourselves to God? The heavens are the work of his fingers. It's a little bit like that bit at the end of Men in Black, if you've seen it, where just it goes a bit bonkers. And you just realize just how big God is. It's mind-blowing. This vast universe, the work of God's fingers. God made the universe out of nothing. He makes something out of nothing. But that's pretty special. But that's not the point of this psalm. What's even more special is that he chooses to invest in humanity, in you and I, a dignity that is so far out of scale, so far above our station. He makes something special out of nothing. Compared to God, we're nothing. And yet he chooses us to rule his world, to make us a little lower than the heavenly beings. He gives us dominion over his creation. So look down at verse 5 again. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6. You've made him ruler over the works of your hands. You have put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. He gives us dignity in dominion, which is such a contrast, isn't it, to empty atheist philosophy. Think about Bertrand Russell, who said this: man is the product of causes which had no pretension of the end they were achieving. His origin, his growth, his hopes, his fears, his loves, and his beliefs are but the outcome of accidental collections of atoms. Isn't that depressing? Isn't that utterly depressing? A totally meaningless chance existence. Psalm 8 says that God is majestic because he makes something special out of nothing. He takes weak things. He chooses to order his world through weak people like you and me. Now, the implications of this are huge, aren't they? Let me just pick three implications for you of this, what this should mean to us. First of all, Psalm 8 should have a massive impact on the way we view other people. It means that every person has a dignity and worth invested in them, regardless of how they match up to the criteria that society would line them up with. So it means we should be opposing any kind of racism, any kind of bullying that belittles people. It's why we should fight for the rights of unborn babies and oppose abortion, because we have dignity as human beings. Every single human being has been invested with a God-giving dignity because he makes something special out of nothing. Secondly, it should have a massive impact on the way we view ourselves as individuals. God has bestowed upon us an incredible dignity. So perhaps you're feeling low this morning. Perhaps you're at the Tiny Tim end of the spectrum and you're feeling low. Just look at verse 4 and soak it in. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? God cares for you. However you feel about yourself, the maker of the universe cares for you. And yet all of us, I guess, alongside that, recognizing our dignity, we need a massive dose of humility alongside it, don't we? Maybe you're feeling high. Maybe you've had a storming term. You've got your blue. Everything's gone well. You're flying. Well, remember verse 2. Out of the mouths of children, infants, God has ordained praise. God values. His majesty is seen in the humble and the weak. Well, remember verse 4. We're really actually nothing compared to God. Why should I bother about God, people ask? Well, actually, the real question is, why should God bother about us? We're nothing. And yet he does. And so humble dignity is where we should end up as we look at ourselves. On our knees before God in humility, but also aware that he's invested in us a great dignity. Thirdly, it should have a massive impact on the way that we treat the world, Psalm 8 should. We're made, humanity is made to exercise dominion over the world. And in many ways, we do a great job, I think, don't we? I mean, I just think about how we've done at sort of, you know, using the world's resources. Just think about inventions that we've come up with. We've got the wheel, the alphabet, bricks, arches, cement, money, the printing press, medicine, the indoor toilet, the steam engine, the internal combustion engine, cars, ships, airplanes, the light bulb, the telephone, the camera, the television, the computer, the internet. It does your head in, doesn't it, when you think about what the internet is? We've done some great things. That's only to mention a few of the things that humanity has done with our minds and with the resources that God's given us in the world. We've done some great things. And we can do those things because of verse 6, because we're made to rule the world by God. He's put us in charge to enjoy his world. And so through that, to enjoy him as we acknowledge him as our creator, the ultimate ruler, as we rule under him. And in many ways, we do a great job. In many ways, we can see that God is doing something special out of nothing very much at all in this world. And we're to keep that up as we look after the world. We're to use technology wisely. We're to carry out ethical scientific research as we make the most of the vast resources in this world. In many ways, we do a great job. But in many ways, we don't, do we? Because Psalm 8, actually, when you think about it, is an ideal that doesn't seem to have worked out very well. Because we abuse and fight for the world's resources. We leave it in an ecological mess. And instead of wisely ruling the world, we end up messing it up so often. That's why we're having the Copenhagen Climate Change Conference whenever it's coming up in a few weeks' time. Because we've messed up the world. We don't do a very good job of looking after it. And that leads us to our second point, the second reason why God's name is majestic. The Lord's name is majestic because he made himself nothing to give us something special. So if our first point why he's majestic is that he makes something special out of nothing, the second point that he made himself nothing to give us something special. You see, the mess of the world that we live in, it came right at the beginning, didn't it, in our first parents, Adam and Eve, who didn't want to rule the world under God. They wanted to rule the world instead of God. They wanted to be God of their own lives. They wanted to do things their own way. It's a bit like someone who wants to use a hairdryer in a bath to make a jacuzzi. It's crazy, isn't it? It's both foolish and dangerous. You know, you break the hairdryer and you kill yourself. And that's what Adam and Eve did. So much bigger way that in the mess that we've made in the world and the way that we carry on with them. We ignore the Maker's instructions and it's foolish and dangerous. The world becomes broken and we face death because of it. We cut ourselves off from God, the source of life, when we reject his rule and try and do it without him. But the good news is that the world's not broken beyond repair. God is determined to follow through the plan of Psalm 8, his plan for man. So determined that he steps into history as a man. In many ways, Psalm 8 is a Christmas psalm because it takes us to the heart of the Christmas message. It's the prophecy, if you like, of the wonderful truth that in history, in time, God stepped into the world as a man. God's majesty is ultimately displayed in the incarnation. So while it's at one level, Psalm 8 talks about humanity in general, more profoundly, it talks about one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not convinced. Turn back again to Hebrews, our second reading. Hebrews chapter 2, page 1202. 1202. Hebrews chapter 2. And let me read those verses again that Sarah read. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, as in the future world, the world where Psalm 8 will be a reality. But there is a place where someone has testified, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Who's the him that this writer is talking about? Yet at the present time, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. See, Psalm 8 is fulfilled when God makes himself nothing so that we can have something special. And it's not a coincidence that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. It's not a coincidence that he began life in obscurity as a nothing, as a little baby in a manger, born in a shed. But out of that nothingness, as we read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that he's something very special indeed. He's not only a man, he's the man. He's the perfect man, humanity as he's meant to be. The one who lived in perfect relationship with God. The one who lived the life that we couldn't live. He was full of grace and truth. He was the one who was full of humble dignity as he walked the earth. And more than that, in his humility, he showed his divine majesty. He showed himself to be God in the flesh. So perhaps you're here this morning and you're someone who's not yet a convinced Christian. But you're looking for God. Well, can I urge you to look at the person of Jesus Christ? Look at the baby this Christmas, born in a manger, and listen to the carols as you sing them. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, born as man, with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. The truth there for you as you sing those carols. As you look at Jesus, you see him as God making himself nothing for us. Or kind of go forward to Easter and remember Palm Sunday as Jesus enters into Jerusalem humbly riding on a donkey. And the little children all shout out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the religious leaders, they hate it, don't they? They say to Jesus, what are they saying? And Jesus responds with Psalm 8, verse 2. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. I think about that, it's pretty staggering, isn't it? Who is the praise in Psalm 8, verse 2, directed towards God? Who are the children directing their hosannas to the Son of David? And Jesus says they're speaking praise to me. I am God. But ultimately, how does Jesus show his divine majesty? Well, he rode into Jerusalem, didn't he, on a donkey. And he rode into Jerusalem to die on a cross. We see the majesty of the Lord Jesus in the humiliation of his death. And it's through that death that he undoes the mess that we've made of this world. Jesus being crucified on the cross may look weak, it may look foolish, but in reality it's the majesty and glory of God, because he made himself nothing to give us something special. For it's through the cross that, as we trust in Jesus, that we receive from God forgiveness of sins, forgiveness for the way that we've lived our lives, and we're welcomed back into a relationship with God that we'd cut off ourselves from. But it doesn't end there, does it? It goes on. The good news just keeps on coming. Because we know that Psalm 8 is a prophecy that's not yet fulfilled. And we know it's a true prophecy that will be fulfilled, because Jesus Christ didn't stay dead when he died on the cross. He conquered death forever by his resurrection. He rose again. And so the Apostle Paul, when he's writing that great chapter on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, he quotes Psalm 8, saying that he rose from the dead and God has put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead triumphant, the true Son of Man, the one who's going to rule over his creation and establish a new creation, a new start, where the world that Psalm 8 is describing will happen perfectly. The world being ruled as it's meant to be, in harmony with its Maker. In harmony, people in harmony with one another. And we can be part of that wonderfully. At the moment, we don't see everything subject to Jesus, do we? The world's still a mess. There's still war, there's still crime, there's still selfishness, there's still sin. But as we put our trust in Jesus, we're made ready for the day when Jesus will return, as he promised, to bring in that new creation, where there's none of those things, and we can enjoy it forever in relationship with him. God made himself nothing to give us something special. And if you reject Jesus, if you're someone here this morning who's rejecting Jesus, you will miss out on that day then. And more than that, you'll miss out on being a true human now in preparation for that day. You won't be living as the way you're meant to live, in humble dignity, relating to one another, relating to our world the way we're meant to relate to it, and relating to our Maker the way we're meant to relate to him. But if you accept Jesus Christ, you're made ready for that great future day. And you will live a life now that's worth living in preparation for it. The life you were created for. Life according to the Maker's instructions in relationship with him. Now, if you're already a Christian, I guess lots of us here this morning are already Christians. Isn't that great news? Isn't that a wonderful message? The gospel is good news about personal and global transformation. Isn't that news that's worth sharing? And so as you share your faith, as you share this gospel message, as an apparently insignificant and weak person with an apparently insignificant and weak message, the message of Jesus crucified, God uses that nothing to make something very special. Because telling the people the gospel message, while it doesn't seem like anything much, is the way that God works to bring transformation, to make great things out of nothing, to make people in relationship with him. He saves people from the mess that we're in, the mess that we've made of the world, And as people are saved and live for Jesus, they're changed. And as people are changed, families are changed. As families are changed, societies are changed. And the world is changed by the power of the gospel. How does Psalm 8 impact us today? Well, it frees us, doesn't it, from being weighed in the scales of success that the world gives us. And instead brings us to life in all its fullness in a satisfying relationship with God our Maker. It leads us to declare, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. As we see him make something special out of nothing. And then how he made himself nothing to give us something special. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way that you've revealed your majesty in the most unexpected of places. And as we consider the Christmas message at this time of year, we see your majesty in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son made flesh for us. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you made yourself nothing so that we could enter into eternal life, into a relationship with you, and to a future that will never perish, spoil, or fade. We praise you in your great name. Amen.